Part 2. Servants of the Shining Darkness. The Anti-Gospel of the New Age Movement. See to it that no one makes a prey of you by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. St. Paul, Colossians 2 verse 8, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, lo, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Jesus, in Luke 17 verses 20-21. Point. Counterpoint: Adam and Eve are said to have committed original sin. I tell you this, it was the original blessing. For without this event, the partaking of the knowledge of good and evil, you would not even know the two possibilities existed. 1. God, talking with Neil Donald Walsh, 1997. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, and he ate. Genesis 3 verses 4-6, and to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Genesis 3 verses 17-19. The secret doctrine must someday become the just karma of the churches, more anti-Christian than the representative assemblies of the most confirmed materialists and atheists. Point 2. Helena P. Blavatsky, The Secret Doctrine, 1888. The ordinary detective discovers from a ledger or a diary that a crime has been committed. We discover from a book of sonnets that a crime will be committed. We have to trace the origin of those dreadful thoughts that drive men on at last to intellectual fanaticism and intellectual crime. Point 3. G.K. Chesterton, The Man Who Was Thursday, The True Communistic Platform is Sound. It is brotherhood in action, and it does not, in its original platform, run counter to the spirit of Christ. Point 4. Alice A. Bailey, The Rays and the Initiations, 1960 ed. Highly evolved beings share everything with everyone. Not a being goes without. All the natural resources of their world, of their environment, are divided equally and distributed to everyone. 1. God, talking with Neil Donald Walsh, 1998. The breakup of the 20th century procreative family structure is a vital perturbation needed for the breakthrough of the 21st century co-creative family structure. Point 2. Barbara Marx Hubbard, Conscious Evolution, 1998. Your marriage vows, as you presently construct them, have you making a very ungodly statement. Point 3. God, talking with Neil Donald Walsh, 1998. We deny the snobbish English assumption that the uneducated are the dangerous criminals. We remember the Roman emperors. We remember the great poisoning princes of the Renaissance. We say that the dangerous criminal is the educated criminal. We say that the most dangerous criminal is the entirely lawless modern philosopher. Compared to him, burglars and bigamists are essentially moral men. My heart goes out to them. They accept the essential ideal of man. They merely seek it wrongly. Thieves respect property. They merely wish the property to become their property that they may more perfectly respect it. But philosophers dislike property as property. They wish to destroy the very idea of personal possession. Bigamists respect marriage, or they would not go through the highly ceremonial and even ritualistic formality of bigamy. But philosophers despise marriage as marriage. Point 4. G.K. Chesterton, The Man Who Was Thursday. It has been suggested that we call a United Species Conference, a conference far more representative than the United Nations is, and put this one question to the 10 million representatives, one for each species: should the human species be allowed to continue on this planet? The vote would most likely be 9,999,999 to 1 that we humans, with our dualistic hatred of Earth, of one another, and of our own existence, be banished to some distant place in the galaxy so that Mother Earth could continue her birthing of beauty, amazement, colors, and health. Point 5. Matthew Fox, The Coming of the Cosmic Christ, 1988 from Democracy, we will now move quickly to Gayocracy or Earthcracy. From the power of government and the money crazy of big business, we will now see the power of nature, of the earth itself. The retribution will be terrible. The earth will take revenge against her most advanced species, which has begun to destroy her. She will retaliate with lack of oxygen, ultraviolet rays, lack of water, mounting cancers, the breakdown of the immune system of the human body, etc. God will not allow us to destroy his creation and to put an end to the earth's careful, miraculous evolution over billions of years. He is more likely to let humanity be destroyed. Point 1. Robert Mueller, Ideas and Dreams for a Better World. 1998. This is a vast philosophic movement, consisting of an outer and an inner ring. You might even call the outer ring the laity and the inner ring the priesthood. I prefer to call the outer ring the innocent section, the inner ring the supremely guilty section. The outer ring, the main mass of their supporters, are merely anarchists. That is, men who believe that rules and formulas have destroyed human happiness. They believe that all the evil results of human crime are the results of the system that has called it crime. Naturally, therefore, these people talk about a happy time coming, the paradise of the future, mankind freed from the bondage of vice and the bondage of virtue, and so on. And so also the men of the inner circle speak, the sacred priesthood. They also speak to applauding crowds of the happiness of the future and of mankind freed at last. But in their mouths, these happy phrases have a horrible meaning. They are under no illusions. They are too intellectual to think that man upon this earth can ever be quite free of original sin and the struggle. And they mean death. When they say that mankind shall be free at last, they mean that mankind shall commit suicide. When they talk of a paradise without right or wrong, they mean the grave. They have but two objects, to destroy first humanity and then themselves. Point 2. G.K. Chesterton, the man who was Thursday, the god of every exoteric religion, including Christianity, notwithstanding its pretensions to mystery, is an idol, a fiction, and cannot be anything else. 3. Helena P. Blavatsky, Isis Unveiled, Volume 1, 1877. See to it that no one makes a prey of you by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. St. Paul, Colossians 2 verse 8. The various cosmogonies show that the archaeal universal soul was held by every nation as the mind of the demiurgic creator, the Sophia of the Gnostics, or the Holy Ghost as a female principle. 4. Helena P. Blavatsky, Isis Unveiled, Volume 1, 1877. The voice of Sophia calls us out of bondage. Held captive by Pharaoh and fearful of dawn, she leads us in darkness through death to deliverance, then into wilderness. Come journey on. O voice of Sophia, be spoken within us, enlighten our struggle from darkness to dawn. Enliven the joy that is trembling within us, deep joy at your calling to come journey on. Point 1. Charles Gibbs, Executive Director of the URI. Why Hymn for a Hatching Heart, 1996. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. St. Paul, 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. The present volumes have been written to small purpose if they have not shown, 1. That Jesus, the Christ God, is a myth concocted 2 centuries after the real Hebrew Jesus died. 2. That, therefore, he never had any authority to give Peter, or anyone else, plenary power. 3. That, even if he had given such authority, the word Petra, rock, referred to the revealed truths of the Petroma, not to him who thrice denied him. And that besides, the apostolic succession is a gross and palpable fraud. 4. That the gospel according to Matthew is a fabrication based on a wholly different manuscript. The whole thing, therefore, is an imposition alike upon priest and penitent. Point 2. Helena Blavatsky, Isis Unveiled, Volume 2, 1877. Christ and Antichrist are the dualities of spirituality and materialism, both in the individual and in humanity as a whole. Or you can speak of God and the devil with the same basic implications. Point 3. Alice A. Bailey, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, 1957. I. Jesus Christ was simply a first example of what you all can be. Since very few could actualize their full potential during the last 2,000 years, I was deified and put above you. People worshipped me instead of actualizing themselves. Point 4. Christ. Speaking to Barbara Marx Hubbard, 1993. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit which does not confess Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you heard that it was coming, and now it is in the world already. St. John 1, John 4 verses 2-3. Those who fail and are disrupted by the impact of the powerful forces now flooding our earth will nevertheless have their vibration stepped up to better things along with the mass of those who achieve, even if their physical vehicles are destroyed in the process. Point 5. Alice A. Bailey, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, 1957. There will be an evolutionary selection process based on your qualifications for co-creative power. A quantum transformation is the time of selection of what evolves from what devolves. The species known as self-centered humanity will become extinct. The species known as whole-centered humanity will evolve. Point 1. A higher voice, speaking to Barbara Marx Hubbard, 1995. All men at times obey their vices. But it is when cruelty, envy, and lust of power appear as the commands of a great superpersonal force that they can be exercised with self-approval. The first symptom is in language. When to kill becomes to liquidate, the process has begun. The pseudoscientific word disinfects the thing of blood and tears, or pity and shame, and mercy itself can be regarded as a sort of untidiness. Point 2. C.S. Lewis, A Reply to Professor Haldane, in Of This and Other Worlds, we are about to eat of the fruit of the tree of life and become godlike. Point 3. Barbara Marx Hubbard, 1995. From the point of view which is accepted in hell, the whole history of our earth had led up to this moment. There was now at last a real chance for fallen man to shake off that limitation of his powers which mercy had imposed upon him as a protection from the full results of his fall. Point 4. C.S. Lewis, That Hideous Strength, Yours is a Race Awakening. Your time of fulfillment is at hand. Point 5. God, speaking to Neil Donald Walsh, 1998. However far you went, you would find the machines, the crowded cities, the empty thrones, the false writings, the barren beds. Men maddened with false promises and soured with true miseries, worshipping the iron works of their own hands, cut off from earth their mother and from the Father in heaven. Point 6. C.S. Lewis, That Hideous Strength, A Progressive Democrat is Not Fundamentally Different from a Really Progressive Totalitarian. Point 7. Teilhard de Chardin, Letters to Two Friends, 1941. Everywhere and in every country, men are being taught in their earliest years that they are not only individuals, not only members of a state, empire, or nation, and not only people with an individual future, but that they are intended to be exponents of certain great group ideologies, democratic, totalitarian, or communistic. All this is very good and part of the ordained plan. Whether it is the democratic ideal, or the vision of the totalitarian state, or the dream of the communistic devotee, the effect upon the consciousness of humanity as a whole is definitely good. His sense of world awareness is definitely growing. His power to regard himself as part of a whole is rapidly developing, and all this is desirable and right and contained within the divine plan. Point 1. Alice A. Bailey, Education in the New Age, 1954. The process which, if not checked, will abolish man, goes on apace among communists and democrats no less than among fascists. The methods may, at first, differ in brutality. But many a mild-eyed scientist in Pensnay, many a popular dramatist, many an amateur philosopher in our midst, means in the long run just the same as the Nazi rulers of Germany. Traditional values are to be debunked and mankind to be cut into some fresh shape at the will, which must, by hypothesis, be an arbitrary will of some few lucky people in one lucky generation which has learned how to do it. The belief that we can invent ideologies at pleasure, and the consequent treatment of mankind as mere YLH, specimens, preparations, begins to affect our very language. Once we killed bad men, now we liquidate unsocial elements. 2 C.S. Lewis, The Abolition of Man. In my opinion, the world of tomorrow will be born out of the elected group of those, arising from any direction and class and confession in the human world, who will decide that there is something big waiting for us ahead, and give their life to reach it. People have to decide for or against progress now, and those who say no have to just be dropped behind. And those who say yes will soon discover that they speak the same language and even worship the same God. 3. Teilhard de Chardin, Letters to Two Friends, 1941. The enthronement of the Gospel of Progress necessarily required the final discrediting of the Gospel of Christ and the destruction of the whole edifice of ethics, law, culture, human relationships, and human behavior constructed upon it. Our civilization, after all, began with the Christian revelation, not the theory of evolution, and we may be sure will perish with it, too, if it has not already. Jesus of Nazareth was its founding father, not Charles Darwin. It was Paul of Tarsus who first carried its message to Europe, not Karl Marx or even Lenin. Jesus, by dying on the cross, abolished death wishing. Dying became thenceforth life's glory and fulfillment. So, when Jesus called on his followers to die in order to live, he created a tidal wave of joy and hope on which they have ridden for 2,000 years. The Gospel of Progress represents the exact antithesis. It plays the crucifixion backwards, as it were. In the beginning was the flesh, and the flesh became word. In the light of this logos in reverse, the quest for hope is the ultimate hopelessness, the pursuit of happiness, the certitude of despair, the lust for life, the embrace of death. 4. Malcolm Muggeridge, The Great Liberal Death Wish. The tradition of the dragon and the sun is echoed in every part of the world, both in its civilized and semi-savage regions. It took rise in the whisperings about secret initiations among the profane, and was established universally through the once universal heliolatrous religion. There was a time when the four parts of the world were covered with the temples sacred to the sun and the dragon. 1. Helena P. Blavatsky, The Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, 1888. The religion of the ancients is the religion of the future. A few centuries more, and there will linger no sectarian belief in either of the great religions of humanity. Brahmanism and Buddhism, Christianity and Mohammedanism will all disappear before the mighty rush of facts. But this can only come to pass when the world returns to the grand religion of the past, the knowledge of those majestic systems which preceded by far Brahmanism, and even the primitive monotheism of the ancient Chaldeans. 2. Helena P. Blavatsky, Isis Unveiled, Volume 1, 1877. When the gods of the new paganism come, they will not be merely insufficient, as were the gods of Greece, nor merely false, they will be evil. One might put it in a sentence and say that the new paganism, foolishly expecting satisfaction, will fall, before it knows where it is, into Satanism. 3. Hilaire Belloc, The New Paganism, in Essays of a Catholic, 1931. 9. The New Age Movement, frivolous in appearance, sinister in substance. Most outside observers of the New Age Movement, conservatives and liberals alike, dismiss its teachings in the same way that Newsweek magazine described the writing of Neil Donald Walsh and James Van Praagh as a philosophy that can be summed up as religion without the hard parts. R. Lawrence Moore, a professor of history at Cornell, says that this is a familiar theme in American spiritualism, going back at least to the Transcendentalists. If you read enough of it, he says, it all reads the same. Goofy, repetitive, goes down easy. One, most of those outside the New Age movement, if they take note of it at all, write it off as silly and harmless. The truth is otherwise. New Age and Theosophical teaching is not merely a collection of inane, comfortable bromides. Some of the leading authors from these movements have left us a collection of hard sayings that include praise for Lucifer, the light-bearer, because he awoke mankind in the Garden of Eden from its primal unconsciousness. For these New Age theorists, the fall was really man's ascent into knowledge and freedom, a proclaiming that we humans are gods and that death is not real, a advocacy for population control, especially for the poor in the West and for the underdeveloped countries. This advocacy goes back to the late 1800s, when world population was a fraction of its current level. Contempt for traditional religions, with concentrated scorn directed at Judaism, evangelical Protestantism, and Roman Catholicism. Support for a new world order, a spiritualized form of communism in which everyone will share everything. A apologetic for various and sundry dictators and authoritarian movements, of the extreme right as well as the extreme left. Acceptance of war and atomic weapons as instruments of human evolution. A forecasting a pending and for them, desirable selection of mankind, in which the progressives enter the New Age and the reactionaries face extinction. For the New Age apostles of progressive social Darwinism, these casualties are a necessary price to pay for human evolution. Christians worship one God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In opposition, these New Age prophets propose an unholy trinity, human self-worship, Promethean religion that sometimes extends to praise of Lucifer, and a collectivist earthly utopia. It is likely enough, however, that little of this has come to the awareness of most New Age devotees. It's easy for those who seek spiritual consolation and community to pay attention to and internalize only the agreeable material in these writers' works, without attending to or consciously accepting the darker side of these beliefs. What the leaders have written is one matter. What their spiritually hungry followers may understand and accept is another matter altogether. You might wonder, what does the aforementioned New Age nonsense have to do with the URI and its globalist allies? The answer is, quite a lot. Among the currently influential New Age writers who support the URI are Robert Mueller, Barbara Marx Hubbard, and Neil Donald Walsh. All have been, to a greater or lesser extent, influenced by the teachings of Alice A. Bailey, an American theosophist of the mid-20th century. Bailey's present-day followers at the Lucas Trust support the URI as well. Bailey, in turn, was a follower of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who first popularized theosophy in Europe and North America after 1875. These New Age writers also praise the work of Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit whom the Catholic Church prohibited from publishing his writings during his lifetime. Teilhard's work, though nominally Catholic, has ominous similarities to the works of the theosophists. The pro-URI New Age activists apparently consider their beliefs to be consistent with the URI charter. The URI cannot say otherwise, and has no basis on which to exclude the New Age gurus from the movement. New Age and theosophist participation in the URI is but one example of the movement's growing influence in the Christian churches and in the world. For the last 125 years, New Age leaders worldwide have followed the false light of theosophy. They now whisper sweet lies into the itching ears of the powerful, politicians, media moguls, UN officials, foundation grantmakers, and Anglican bishops alike. As the West moves deeper into apostasy from the Christian faith, the influence of the New Age movement spreads among the elite as much as, or more than, among the rest of us. J. Gordon Melton, a historian of new religious movements, stated that the mass appeal of the New Age movement peaked in 1987 to 1988. Around the time of the Harmonic Convergence celebrations and the release of a movie version of Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb. Since then, the movement refocused and has continued, though with a quite varied appearance. J. Gordon Melton, The Future of the New Age Movement, in Eileen Barker and Margit Warburg, eds, New Religions and New Religiosity, Aarhus University Press, 1998, p. 140. However, the present-day networking forums for the global business and political elite described in Part 3 of this book, the State of the World Forum and the World Economic Forum, among others, have consistently offered their constituency a diet of New Age spirituality at their meetings. Thus, it may be that as the New Age movement lost mass appeal, its influence increased among the global elite.